From the studios of KPCW in Park City, it's This Green Earth, a weekly talk show about the environment and our relationship with it. I'm Nell Larson.
And I'm Chris Cherniak. Thanks for tuning in.
And joining us now is John Carter. He's the campaign director at the Utah Rivers Council, and he's here to talk with us a little bit about their rain harvest program. John, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you, Nell. Thank you, Chris. Can you hear me fine?
We can, yeah. So Utah Rivers Council did this rain harvest program a few years ago, and I remember it being hugely popular, and it sounds like you're back for another round. Is that right?
That's correct, yeah. Well, we've actually been doing it steady since 2015, and we're just coming back to Park City again for another round up there. So we're excited to be back up there.
Okay, great, great. So let's start with the basics of the program and actually why a rain harvest or a rain barrel program is something that Utah Rivers Council is prioritizing.
Cool, yeah. You know, Utah Rivers Council, we're a 501c3 nonprofit, and we've been around since 1994, and we work on the conservation and protection of our rivers and streams here in Utah. And for us, that's why this program is so important. And so just a little background on what rain harvest is for those who don't know, it's really just about collecting the rain that falls on your homes. And so it's quite simple. You just take one of our 50-gallon rain barrels and you cut a portion of your downspout or gutter off, and you just place the barrel underneath that. And then on a day like today, where in many parts of the state it's raining, as that rain falls on your roof, it goes through the gutter and collects in these rain barrels. And some folks will connect 1, 2, 3 rain barrels together, collecting 50, 100, or 150 gallons of rainwater that then, days later, they can use that water in their garden. They just simply connect a hose to the bottom of the rain barrel, and then they use it in their garden, on their lawns, to wash their car, etc. And what's really great about this is it's not only saving you money in your pocket by not having to purchase more water to use, but it improves the water quality in our rivers and streams. So typically when that rain falls on your roof, it goes in the gutter and then goes into our streets, which eventually flows back into our rivers and streams. But when it goes through the streets, it's picking up litter, pollutants, little bits of rubber left over from tires. And so by actually collecting that rainwater on site before it goes back into our rivers and streams, you're helping improve that water quality. And so that's why this program is really so important for us here at Utah Rivers Council.
Another piece of this that I wanted to touch on was actually like the legality of it. And I chuckled when I saw the banner on your website for your rain harvest program. It says free legal water. And at one point, collecting water in Utah wasn't legal, right? So how does this work now?
Yeah, thank you for asking that question. Now, yeah, we get that question a lot. And since 2015, the Utah legislature passed legislation making rainwater legal, the collection of rainwater. And so if you collect over 100 gallons, you just have to simply register with Utah's state engineer, and it's simply just filling out a little form letting them know that you're collecting rainwater. And then there is a maximum that you can collect, but the maximum is so high that we don't get quite enough rain. It'd be pretty hard to actually collect that maximum amount of water. But it's quite easy now. So
again, if I have 2 barrels, or 3 barrels, I'm collecting 100 or more gallons of water, potentially. I have to fill out some forms?
Correct, yeah. So we have it right on our website, right at the bottom of our rain harvest page, and you just go down. If you decided to purchase, say, 2 or 3 of these rain barrels, you just fill out the form, tell them your name, tell them your address, and it's just so they can monitor, they're monitoring how much rain's falling in the state and it's going into our rivers and streams, to how much is available to use. And so this just helps them have a better idea of how much water is going into the rivers and streams or is being collected on someone's property.
So speaking of that, do you know how much water you can save, or how much water you can collect by using one of these rain barrel systems?
Yeah, well, we actually have a pretty cool tool on our website that you can use, and you can, it's just a Google satellite image that you can go over your house, and you could select the points of your roof, because it's really dependent on how big your roof is, and then really where in the state you are and what your average rainfall is. So if, you know, once you just use this tool, you can tell it how big your roof is, the square footage, and it'll tell you how much you personally will actually be able to save on your property where you're located based on average rainfall.
So I'm thinking again, though, that let's say roofs that have gutters and downspouts, you're going to have to modify your downspout in some fashion so that the downspout empties in now into the barrel versus just kind of dispersing it down onto the ground. So there may be a little engineering involved at your home to accommodate a rain barrel.
Yeah, that's correct, Chris. Yeah, it's just cutting off a small portion of that, the bottom of your downspout, and then all you have to do is put the rain barrel underneath it. Some people use pavers just to make sure the rain barrel stays level, so when it starts filling up with water and is weighted, it doesn't tip over. And, we recommend people just to keep that downspout just in case they decide to move the rain barrel around or change things up. But it's quite easy. Our rain barrels come with a kit. We work with Rainwater Solutions, and they build these wonderful rain barrels. They're built out of 100% recycled materials here in the USA, and they come with everything you need except probably just a cutting tool for that downspout. And if you're comfortable enough using some sharp edges, you'll be able to get that off in no time.
So let's talk about some of the features, I guess, of these rain barrels. I know they were really carefully selected because they're really user-friendly and they're safe. And give us like a lowdown on what you want to look for in a rain barrel and what these have.
Yeah, so there's a couple pieces that are important, and one of the main things is having a proper catchment on top of it. So these rain barrels, the top of them, they sort of create this funnel on top. So it's just real simple. Once it's under the downspout, any rain that falls is actually falling into the rain barrel, not just bouncing off and going out. So you're effectively catching the rain. And then what's next is you have a little mosquito cover, and that's important for protecting the quality of the water that's in there. You don't want to breed a lot of mosquitoes and bugs just getting inside on top of that water. And then what's next is the bottom is just having a connector for a proper hose, a three-quarter connector hose, which is pretty common in most homes, and a valve that's sturdy enough. And really, those are your basic components, and just making sure that those are of high quality. And then after that, on the top of the barrel, you have another place where you can connect, let's say, a second barrel or a third barrel, and we call that daisy chaining, multiple barrels together. So as the one barrel fills up and it gets towards the top, there's that little exit valve, and it'll just go out of that and into a second barrel, and then go into a third barrel. And sometimes we've seen four or five barrels connected under one downspout.
That must be a serious roof to collect that much water.
It just sort of depends on what your watering habits are and what you're looking for. I wouldn't say you really need a huge roof. I think they say it's about 15 to 20,000 gallons of rainfall in Salt Lake County every year. So, you don't need a huge roof to collect that much. You'll be surprised at how quick these rain barrels fill up. And you'll also be surprised at how quickly you'll use that water out of the rain barrel.
We're speaking with John Carter. He's campaign director with Utah Rivers Council. And we're talking about the council's rain harvest program that is, they are sponsoring, along with Park City Municipal and Summit County. Let's talk now how people can acquire these barrels. When can they sign up for them?
Yeah, thanks, Chris. So they can go today, right now, to www.utahrivers.org/rainharvest. And when they go to our website there, they'll be able to click through and choose which municipality they live in to get their rain barrels. Park City, we want to thank Park City and Mayor Andy Bierman for their leadership in participating with us in this project this year. And so if you're a Park City resident, you can go to the website and you can purchase up to 2 barrels at $50 each. And that's because Park City is helping subsidize that $50 barrel cost. If you don't live in Park City or you live in Summit County, you can still purchase as many rain barrels as you want for $75 each. And those, you just go to the website and you're pre-ordering these rain barrels. And then on Sunday, May 2nd, we'll be at Quinn's Junction in Park City, and we'll have 100 or more rain barrels out in the parking lot on the south end of Quinn's Junction there, and folks will drive in and just pick up their rain barrels and drive off and start setting them up. So it's a pretty easy way. The barrels cost normally, their retail value is $129, so whether you're buying the $75 or $50 barrels, there's still a great price from what the barrel's retail value is.
Fantastic. Well, we have a couple of minutes left. So before we move on from the Rain Harvest program, I just want to ask, is there anything else we need to cover on this? You've listed the website, utahrivers.org/rainharvest, where people can find more information. But is there anything else we need to cover on rain harvest, before we talk a little bit about some of the other work you're doing at Utah Rivers Council?
Yeah, no, thank you. I guess the one other thing is that Park City has actually offered to, with any barrel that they sell through their program, they'll throw in a pair of biochar socks, which is a filtration system that helps eliminate heavy metals in the water. And, you know, really this is just our program's 6th year, and after this year we'll have distributed 5,000 rain barrels to Utah residents, and we're really excited to continue bringing this really important program, especially, you know, this year during this extreme drought, so.
Yeah, well, I think you took care of the segue there for us, John. We are in extreme drought right now, and I'm sure that that's something that the Rivers Council is looking at pretty carefully as it pertains to our waterways this summer.
Yeah, that's correct. You know, and it is something that Utah and the Southwest has been experiencing for the past 21 years now. Some folks are calling it a mega drought, but really, you know, this is our new normal, and this year is really exemplifying the extreme to that new normal can go to. And so we're fielding a lot of questions about what's the situation with our water in the state. And you know, one thing that's really important for people to understand and to remember is that the agriculture uses about 80% of the water in the state of Utah, and the remaining 20% or so is used in our cities and is used by industry. And so, you know, that's just, it's important to remember that, so we're not quite running out of water yet, but it's something that people really need to just pay attention to and start thinking about how they can reduce their water outside of the home.
Our state has seen some proposals, I think, for massive infrastructure projects to sort of bolster our water supply, right?
Yes, that's correct. We have both Bear River Development and Lake Powell Pipeline, and both of those are $2 to $3 billion water projects that are meant to be used for municipal water use, water that's used in our urban cities. And, you know, those are two projects that we're both working to oppose, because there is a plethora of alternatives. And frankly, they're just projects that we don't need here in Utah. You know, if you look, the Lake Powell Pipeline is trying to bring water from the Colorado River to St. George in Washington County. And if you look at the population of Washington County versus, say, Albuquerque, in Albuquerque, they have about 200,000 more people than St. George, and they're using about half of the water that St. George is expected to use with the Lake Powell Pipeline.
Wow.
And so there's just so many ways, we don't have the time today to get into them, but there's so many ways that we can reduce our water use to avoid these costly projects. And rain harvest is, you know, frankly, one of the more simple and easy ways that we can start reducing our water use.
Well, yeah, I know we could spend another 20-minute segment on Lake Powell Pipeline Project. But
we'll have to get John back on another day for that.
But I have to ask, why does St. George use so much water?
Yeah, and a lot of it, you know, we could, again, go into how many different ways they're using so much water. But one of the easiest ways they could reduce their water use is by phasing out property taxes for water. And so in Washington County, the Washington County Water District collects property taxes on residents and specifically for water. And what that does is it subsidizes very low water rates. And they have, you know, for being one of the driest cities in the nation, they have some of the lowest water rates in the nation, which makes them one of the nation's highest water users. So, you know, just using market economics, if you, the higher the price of something is, the less we use. There's a reason we're not all driving Ferraris to work every day. But when they lower the price of water so low that they're actually incentivizing water waste in their communities, just because people aren't aware of how much water they're using because it's not impacting their wallets.
So basically, they're, you know, they have no problem watering their lawns, watering their golf courses, washing their cars, because they don't see, they're not experiencing the full cost impact associated with that, those activities.
Yeah, that's correct, Chris. And, you know, there's no problem doing any of those things if you want to, but really, you know, we feel that you should pay the full price of whatever the cost of doing those activities is that's associated with it. And just as you said, when there's no incentive to reduce that, then there's no reason for them to really pay attention to it.
Well, John, it's time for us to start to wrap up today. Where would you direct people if they're interested in learning more about some of these projects that you mentioned, the Lake Powell Pipeline or the Bear River Project, as well as the Rain Harvest Program?
Yeah, thanks. Now, just to our website, it's www.utahrivers.org, and rivers is plural. And if you go there, you'll be able to find any information you like on either of those projects, some of the other work we're doing, some of the work we've done in the past, and as well, any and all information on our rain harvest program. I would like to note that the Rain Barrel pre-orders is only open until Sunday, April 25th, and that's the last day you can put your order in. So, and there's no guarantee either that rain barrels will be available at those prices if you wait. So we recommend people go there as soon as they have a chance to pre-order their rain barrels, and we'll look forward to seeing them the first weekend of May when they're there to pick up their rain barrels.
Fantastic. Well, John, thanks so much for joining us this morning. It was a pleasure to have you on the show as always.
Thank you, Nell. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of This Green Earth.
And if you did, we hope you'll take a minute to rate us, share us, and leave a comment.
You can email us your thoughts and ideas for future shows at thisgreenearth@kpcw.org.
Join us next week on This Green Earth.